Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Prem Vasanti. Vasanti took sannyas in 1979 and is the co-founder of Corfu Buddha Hall, a space for meditative arts. Corfu Buddha Hall is a spectacular venue which supports and promotes conscious living, built as a center for Gurdjieff sacred dance and inspired by the vision of Osho. Vasanti, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good, Swaram. Thank you for inviting me here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, to start, tell us a little bit about how you came to know about Osho.
I did not know until I actually was in India already. It was that time where it was just easy to come to India, and that's what I did on a magic bus, not knowing at all what was I going towards. Not looking for a master, even that idea would have freaked me out to touch the feet of a man that's so non-Western. So that was not in my plan. It was just to visit India. And the, how to say, strange thing is that on the way on this magic bus, I met many others that were not going to Osho, but without knowing it, we were all being magnetized towards the place. So I got finally with this magic bus to India after countless adventures. And there I did exactly the tour that Osho describes. He speaks about this typical tour of the hippie, of the young hippie, which was Nepal, Benares, Goa, and from Goa to Osho. It's in Goa that I started to hear stories about Osho. For instance, the description of the group who is in, this is what I heard. That people, they are in a room, naked. They cannot leave the room, not even to pee. And all they can do anything they want, but the only words they can say is, tell me who you are. And of course, this is the journal. I mean, it's a description just made to capture the attention, not responding to what the group actually is, which is a very serious process. But it made me think, wow, a place where they do such things, I have to go and see. Just these things made me feel like, wow, I've got to meet this man. There is something there. So I took a train, got to Pune. And in my idea of not touching the feet of everyone, I did not want to admit I was going to the commune, to the ashram. So I brought the risho all around and I walked the last 500 meters just to keep the independence that I'm not admitting I'm going to see that man. And then I walked in there and there was this very loving community. And I got in touch first with the Italian sannyasins. And actually, it was this love that kept me closer and closer. And there was still a lot of resistance in me. I remember the moment I went to ask for sannyas, and that was in the main office. And Garimo, then Arup, was taking the new people. And my first words were, I don't want to take sannyas. And because I have too much mind to deal with. And what got me is that Garimo said, okay, so wait 1 week, come back next Saturday. And this idea to just wait one more week, what just made me see that, yes, I might say whatever I want with my mind, but what I really wanted was to be a sannyasin. And so even with my whole feministic ideas, with all the things that did not correspond, I went to meet Osho. So I was, some sannyasin recognized the master right away. For me, it was more indirect. It was through the circle of friends. And then went to sit in front of me in a file of maybe 9, 10 of us. And that I could feel, this silence, this peace, just sitting in front of him with nothing to do, No future, no past, just being there.
For me, what is incredible is to hear the stories of all of you, anarchists, hippies, rebels, people who from the West would never go and bow down to the feet of an Indian man, but eventually for some kind of magic element or mysterious ways, you all did. There is this recurrent theme that everyone is saying that the moment they sit in front of Osho was an experience that never happened before. So there was something about the presence of this man which was completely out of the normal.
And very ordinary at the same time. There were other stories, a little more abnormal later on when Osho was giving this energy darshan, which was this energy transfer. But this first experience was just ordinary, ordinary silence. Finally.
Well, yeah, ordinary silence, but for the vast majority of the people in the world to have an ordinary silence is very extraordinary.
Yes. So to go on with the story anyway, finally my turn came. And so he was saying to close the eyes while he was writing the name on the piece of paper. And that seemed to take so long, just so long, how long he can write my name on a paper. And just the urge to open my eyes, which I held. Sometimes I would hear him say to people, do not peek. So finally he says, you can open your eyes. And then he asked me, what does your name mean? Which was at that time, Metella. It's a very unusual Italian name. So I was really waiting that my master tells me what it means. But no, he asked me. And then again, all my paradigm got shifted. Like, he asking me what Metella means. And I was unable to say. So he simply dropped that part of my name and spoke about love. And spoke a long time about love. And the final thing that really got me again and turned me around is, he said, what I'm giving you is not the real Sanyas. And then, of course, all my ego was woken up. So, oh no, what? I'm not accepted. And he said, the real Sanyas will come when you will learn to love or something. Learn to be loving and then become love. And as I was seeing myself, this was an impossibility. How do you become love? And this is still the koan that keeps me operating. I don't know how many years later, that was 79. So what is it? 42 years later. How to become love? Eh? And one time I felt love is. So when love is, well, then I'm not. And it's this dance all the time with this koan.
Well, amazing. So basically, you took the formal initiation, if you like, through sannyas. That was just the beginning of opening the path to learn how to be love. And through learning how to be love, that's the way for you to disappear as an ego. So as if Osho gave you the direction for your life. And then Osho left the body. And after that, I understand that you decided to open a center called the Corfu Buddha Hall.
No, wait. Just a little former episode, and then we come to the Buddha Hall, if you allow me. It is that when Osho left his body, that was my first instinct, because I had got there, I was only 20. I was unable to tell the difference between an electricity bill and the bank bill, you know, a bank account. So I had this urge to experience life. And when Osho left his body with the big pain, I still felt, wow, this is the time now to go in the world. And then I started to hear all the instructions that he had left, like, you will change the floor in my room, you will do this, you will do that. And then I really felt that the latent message of Osho was, do not leave right away. It's not that he asked me to change the floor, right? Just to be clear, but my boyfriend had to change the floor. So there were so many He did not want we all just to disperse in an immediate cloud of orange, but to stay, we were not dressed in orange anymore, in a cloud of the rainbow, eh? But he wanted to still stick there for a while. And that's what I did. It was only years later when life called me to be somewhere else. My mother was getting older, and so I did. And then, so it was myself with my now husband, and we built this Buddha hall. And I would not have done it alone, and he would not have done it alone. The combination came for an apparent crazy reason, which was I wanted a big room for the Gurdjieff movements. This is a technique that I learned in the ashram in Osho commune. It is the movements, body gestures created by a Russian mystic, George Gurdjieff. And so it had become really my reason of life. I spent all my time doing trainings and collecting notes and bringing teachers in and teaching myself. And it is rare actually to find a big room made for this. So I wanted to build one, which is big enough, and basically all the requisites that the now existing Corfu Buddha Hall has. And we first looked in Italy for such a place, could not find. Also because in Italy, my God, the bureaucracy, the rules, they are quite crazy. Like, you can build what already exists. So say I look in Tuscany, there is only small houses with small windows. I could buy it with a lot of money and then build again the same house. But here in Greece, thanks to God, we were not even questioned because the rules that they had here in Corfu was either build exactly a Corfu house, Corfiot house, or build something which is completely different, not existing anywhere. And so luckily our architect could bring this, how to say, this rule to the commission that had to examine our project. And definitely it was so outlandish, does not exist anywhere. So they accept it without a single modification. So here we have this crazy building with a blue roof, octagonal shape, and windows all around. And the floor is very good for movements. It's bouncy. And we did this Buddha hall. Also, we had no idea about being a hotel or how to guest people in. So we didn't build bedrooms, for instance. And I was still a little bit hippie. So I thought, no problem, we will all sleep in the Buddha hall. But meanwhile, the generations have changed and people want single rooms. So we were confronted with many things we didn't expect. Also, how the Greek people built to put the concrete, because first it was Easter. Then the daughter of the main builder got married. Then it started to rain. Then it stopped raining, but it was too hot. So basically the concrete started before Easter, ended in August. And so it was with everything else. But with the grace, finally we got the place built 12 years ago. So 88, is it? No, 98.
Took 12 years. A long time, a lot of effort, but it's an amazing, beautiful venue. So you told us about the motivation, why you wanted to build it, to have your own space for doing this Gurdjieff movement, which required a specific architecture and design. So what was your vision when you started? Perhaps you didn't have a specific vision, but do you have it now? What's your view for the place as it is now and in the future?
Yes, I had my vision. My vision was to build a Gurdjieff community here. Of course, I'm a sannyasin, but people who are interested in the Gurdjieff work. And what happened is that actually there is a community here, and it grew enormously after the Buddha Hall was built. So I feel that the Buddha Hall was one of the pillars that anchored a community of people living here, but for completely different reason from what I had imagined. So in the beginning, it was a disillusionment to see that my dream was not coming true. And also it was a big learning to just let go in what life was presenting, what Osho was presenting, you know, which is what I had imagined, the community, but not with the Gurdjieff movements. And now it's starting again. I want to say this, that we do have Gurdjieff movements happening here. And I also started teaching them again. And this is also an important part of my life. If there is time later, we get to it. If not, doesn't matter. And so there is no other plan in Buddha Hall than to follow what existence wants for it. It's been like this from the very beginning. It went beyond my imagination. I imagined a small room just to practice the movement. And we have this wonder that contributes to keep people together. And we started this meditation on Saturday before the Buddha Hall was built. And this has been a constant for us. So every Saturday, many people of the community meet here and we do the Osho meditation together.
Okay. That's amazing. And I definitely want to know more about the community in Corfu, about the Gurdjieff movement, and what role you played in building this community, which is, it seems to be growing more and more and more and attracting people from all over the world, which is really beautiful. But just before that, I'd love to hear, because I read on your website that you say that the Buddha Hall is a place for meditative arts and it's inspired by the vision of Osho. So what does it mean for you being inspired by the vision of Osho?
That's a serious question. No, actually, what it means in that context is very simple, is that people may be informed right away that Osho is the master for most of the people here. It's not a must. My own husband is not an Osho sannyasin, so we don't have any rules. We don't have to obey to anyone dictums, but we do take Osho as the foundation of the place here. So I don't have any vision other than let life flow. And how life flew for me was with Osho. So that's the people that gather here. And that's what we do here. We do things inspired to Osho. And if you ask me what Osho is, good luck. Takes a whole life to experiment and the blink of an eye to be in his presence. If one is open, what can I say?
I'm not going to ask you that because it's a big, big con. And I guess it means different things for different people. But the impossible task that we are trying to do with this podcast is also to listen from the people who have been with him directly to talk about Osho in different ways.
Yeah, maybe it could be interesting to someone. The last job I had when Osho was in his body, I was a cleaner in his house. Maybe that's interesting to someone. I did not have any special roles. I was just cleaning the room of the cleaner. So nothing. So so great to talk about. Yes, we were trying to be very quiet when cleaning the room on top of his room, because otherwise he could maybe hear our thoughts and that would be a bother to him. So trying to clean quietly and just feel this silence and sometimes feeling him very present and not interfering in his life as much as I could. But there was a special energy there. The day when he left his body, I remember it just before he left it as a moment of quiet, beauty, silence, and I remember I was cleaning my Discord chair with great joy, as if something new is happening. Had no idea that this is when Osho will leave his body. And then we all met in Buddha Hall and the news came and pang, such a pain. And then, of course, the beautiful celebration and then the building of the meditation, the hall. And in his body, no, I remember the energy dungeons. That was special. He would call like a bunch of us, the person that was receiving the energy darshan, and then the medium were behind. And then he would touch us on the forehead. And then we would just meet that silence, that joy. Sometimes come out laughing, sometimes come out very quiet. That was a magic moment. That was happening every 3 months for the workers. I was a worker, mostly a cleaner, as I said. Cleaning was a beautiful job. And so we would go there and this would happen to us. Meanwhile, the rest of the commune was just dancing their best in the Buddha hall. They will in that way join to the darshan that was happening in Lao Tzu, that they were joining with their music and their dance and their ecstatic dance. And we were receiving from Osho at that time. So these are the main contact. One time during the live, because there was a living darshan, and that's when Osho would give a little box, right? But there was not such a big conversation like, when are you going to come back? And me saying, as soon as possible. And he chuckling, ha, 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 as he was doing, giving me the box and me touching his feet and his contact on my forehead. Not much. At that time, it was no more a long conversation for each sannyasin because the number was growing of us.
What you are describing here, the feeling I get is this experience of living with an alive master, where everything you do in the commune, you are immersed in this energy, Buddha field.
Yes, definitely.
The master, and then just cleaning. It's the first time I hear someone saying, I was enjoying, cleaning was beautiful. Normally people hate the cleaning. You know?
I still love cleaning to this day. It was like that. It was being immersed, like you are in this aquarium and you're drinking the water and beauty is all around and waking up so blissful in the morning and another day of this beauty. And then we all meet for breakfast together and peanut butter and honey and then to work. And then there is a team. I mean, it was a special time. Also, I was very much younger, so love affairs were not missing. Maybe that also was making it very special. But it was this beautiful feeling of being in the present without words.
Yes. Okay, well, that's great. And I think, of course, you know, Osho's presence in the body is no more. So that magic, in a way, cannot be replicated, but at the same time, what is left is beautiful people, beautiful sannyasins who have absorbed and imbibed that, and then they're all over the world. And in Corfu, there are many sannyasins, and at the same time, as we mentioned before, there is what is called nowadays a conscious community that is growing, especially in the northwest part. So, yeah. Tell us a little bit about how Arias is changing, attracting people, and the role that Corfu Buddha Hall played, because you've been here 20 years, and by you being here and attracting people and doing the activities you do, that contributed as well to make Arias what it is today.
Yes, I need to make a little editing to the words before. I don't know that Osho is no more available. Yes, he's not in his body. And his own words, as far as I remember, were, when I am not in my body, then I will be available to all of you. And I add simultaneously. And this I feel often, just all of a sudden, his presence with that same rainbow light that was in his library in Lao Tzu, and I feel him present. And I'm quite sure that in different forms, different intensity, this is happening to all of his sannyasins, and that we are spread now as the salt of the earth without any sense of this prize towards people who, not that we are the only salt of the earth, but we are part of the salt of the earth with so many other forces in this world that are aimed towards the light. So this was my precision. And about this Buddha hall, well, for sure it was wanted. It was willed by forces bigger than us. One proof for me of this is that at the very same time that this Buddha hall was built in Corfu, Devakant and Azima in the south of America were also building a place called Corfu, called Buddha Hall, with the blue roof, the 8 sides to it, the same size more or less. And so it's like from the astral, this idea got implanted at the same time in 2 different parts of the earth. So I know we are part of some scheme that is escaping my wish, my understanding, and I can just be a part of it. And here in Buddha Hall, here at Arillas, well, there were already sannyasins coming. There was already a meditation center. So there was, in the beginning, I think, the Uranus Club. From the Uranus, the Alexis Zorbas was conceived. Then the Uranus also split into Mythos. So by now we have 9 meditation centers. There is the Gayatri Mandir, where many, many people go to sing and dance. And there is the Buddha Hall. Well, the elderly community has some shelter. And also it's used now for many groups that require a little intimacy, so they cannot just be in the open, need the little walls around them. Yes, all this is happening. What was I supposed to say? Well, finally, the people, the Greek people in Arilla start. Of course, we are a contribution to the local economy, which is fantastic. So they start to see us not just as the guru people, or maybe they still see us as the guru people, but they see that this is good people. They don't get drunk. They are not noisy. They pay their bills. They contribute to the economy. So they are better off with us than without us. And some of them also come for the meditations. So it starts to be a more exchanging broth, probably, than in the beginning. And for sure, Buddha Hall also contributed to this. Plus, this kind of magnet phenomenon that keeps happening, so that you come, then your friend comes, and then another friend comes, and then you end up meeting on the beach a friend that you had not met for 20 years. And we are all here and we can share together. So this happens more and more. More people come all the time. Now there is this corona thing. The people who usually go to Goa will probably come to Corfu this winter. And so it keeps growing like that. And I'm very happy and thankful to be a pawn in God's game.
Absolutely. No, it's amazing. You know, I'm here now to experience this community and I'm loving it. It's very beautiful. You mentioned COVID, and of course, it's a big challenge for many people, but especially for people who have a business like yours, you know, which relies on groups coming and going. So how are you facing this challenge as a businesswoman and as a human being? What's happening inside of you?
I will separate the two things, the business and my personal, because my personal is simply grateful for the slowdown, for the silence in the air, for the fresh air around, for the quiet, less groups, less people. For me, it has been a blessing. And I discovered that this is why before I was so close in myself, it's because there is too much pressure all the time. And with the age of the body growing, I cannot handle that anymore. I need time. So for me, the COVID, I call it coronavirus, was a blessing. I mean, forgive me all the people who suffered for it. I'm just saying what happened personally here, it was a blessing. Just this quiet, finally. And, you know, it's like you have always worn shoes number 37 and you discover you actually need 39. Now I don't want to go back to number 37, please. So this is now a learned lesson. Keep the space around me as much as I can. And then I can have the energy open for my own creativity. Just a little excursus on the Gurdjieff movement. I had stopped teaching them for maybe 7 years. And now it starts again. And I see, simply I did not have the space. It was all taken. And now it's there again. So that's my personal take on this whole affair, joined to the fact that here in Corfu, we had a very mild, like I call it business class coronavirus, because we could always go to the sea. You know, there was a rule, you can take your dog to the sea. Far out, I think I go with the dog, you know. It's not like finding yourself. I hear the stories, people in France, in Paris, they are blocked in their small flat on the 8th floor with cops on the bottom. When I left Italy in March, it was also getting in this type of paranoia state. And here, we landed here. And poof, all of a sudden, we are in this beauty, in this quiet. So we have been lucky here in Corfu. So maybe this is a reason why the people who are here, they tend to remain, stay put for this time. What was the question again? See the mind, the old age. What did you ask me?
No, the question is...
The business. No, for the business, we managed, because with the grace, again, of existence, last year was the first year here at Buddha Hall where we made a profit. So we were like, wow, we have a profit this year. We made it. Yeah. And we kept it. We didn't spend it all. So for this year, we were covered by last year's profit. What we do next year is not clear to me. I just hope that we'll be enough groups to at least balance the groups that will not be able to happen. Like we have two groups which are with American facilitators. I so hope they can happen. Those for me are the most iffy ones. Will it be possible to transit from America to Europe? Other groups, they are with German facilitators. They are the easier one. Even now, we are right now having a group run with German facilitators and mostly German participants. So we are a little bit tied to the fortune of COVID in the coming year. And for sure, it will not be a regular year. I hope we can at least go even next year. This is for us, but most of the locals, they managed, because anyway, the restaurants could function to a certain extent. The hotels could function to a certain extent. So we all hang in there, enjoy the quiet and the hope to make it through economically. In the beginning of the year, I heard some of the locals, and they were also just finally enjoying 1 year of holiday and hoping it doesn't continue for a second year.
Absolutely. And I really love your positive mindset and approach, and the separation between the business and the human being. And it's true, for many people, it's also an opportunity, unless you are directly affected by the pandemic, the disease, or really financial trouble. But for many people, it's an opportunity to really go in, slow down, and just, you know, take a pause. You know, that's the art of meditation. It's almost like existence is telling us all to just reconsider this running around like headless chickens all the time. But great to hear that things you're coping well, and that's amazing. So of course, I feel like you're really passionate about the Gurdjieff dance. So I definitely want to ask you to tell us a little bit more. And just as a reminder, in episode 34, we interviewed Amio, who is one of the leading Gurdjieff dance movement teachers. Yeah, tell us a little bit how, you know, what's in it for it, why you love it so much, why you're so passionate about it.
Probably because I have a very busy mind. And to calm it down through Vipassana takes at least 3-4 days of doing Vipassana the whole day. This is what I remember from Pune. And with the movements, this is simply not affordable. After 3 seconds of being in the mind, you lose the movements. So you only have 3 seconds maximum to come back to it. This is probably one of the things. And the other is the miracle of the body learning. When my mind still has not got it and I can see my body doing the movement, it just creates this moment of awe of how, just there are no words, just awe of this miracle happening. And with the years, I've seen this happening over and over, and I see this is the grace of the moment, the grace of the here and now, the grace of presence, the grace of the mystery. And that's what I look for this moment of grace. And for it, I'm ready to pay with some work. And I've learned from Osho and from how meditations are taught in Pune to keep it light, playful, non-serious, and serious at the same time in terms of intention. And this is very important with the movements, because what we explore sometimes are, how to say, shadow parts. The I'm not good enough, the I did a mistake. And so to temper that with the warmth of presence with love, something like that, yes. And also it's a very fascinating method. If you want to try, come on Wednesday morning at 11 at my house and we have a class. Usually we do in Buddha Hall, but now there is a group happening. So this is invitation for you and Chetna. So you can let me know if you come. I prepare something special for you.
Thank you. I mean, that the invitation is so warm and so inviting, but with the Gurdjieff movement, I had my experience. I discussed that with Emilio, and maybe, you know, it wasn't the right environment and situation, but exactly what you said. So I also have a very active mind, and with Gurdjieff movement, you can't cheat, you know, 2-3 seconds in the mind and your body is all over. So it's a great tool to be present, but it's not for everyone. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much. So we are heading towards the end. I have 3 final questions I ask all the guests on the show. But just before that, is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, if I can give a grandmother advice, my children, always stay with the light. Just go for the good. Go for the light and enjoy the travel. Okay, now the final questions.
That's very sweet. Thank you. So what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
I'm so sorry. I'm such a bad example. The morning routine is I persuade myself to get myself out of bed maybe by 9 and have a coffee. So please don't tell this to anyone. It's not helpful. It's not conducive. I don't know why I am like this. I'm not such a good example.
No. Look, it's beautiful. There are different people with different habits. I've noticed there is, I think, something to do with Corfu as well, because when I want to meet people for coffee and I say anything before 11 a.m., they're like, oh, no. Minimum is 11 a.m. So, okay. So people here like to take it easy. But then there is also an individual component. Some people are morning types, some people are evening types. So, you know, you're definitely not a morning type, right?
I would be. I have been, and I love mornings. It's just that I cannot. That's in Pune, I used to do Tai Chi, Qigong every morning at 7:20. And that was my routine. And I loved it. And there is a moment where the discipline stick simply broke. And now I don't find it anymore.
Okay, fair enough. Whatever works for you. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
What we do here in Pune is we listen to Osho. In Pune, oh my God. In Corfu Buddha Hall, we listen to Osho every Saturday. And that I love. And I would do it every day if I could find the space and the time. And that's for me the best. I'm not so much into active meditations. I used to be, but I'm like 62 now, and jumping up and down just makes me having to go to the bathroom. You know, these practical, simple human things that make me love better the sitting. For young people, I think dynamic is great. It's totally fantastic. And I don't have that pool anymore.
Okay, wonderful. So the last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
You know this song? Remember me as much as you can. Feel me present everywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing, remember me. Like that. Just he comes on a rainbow or on a moment of silence or a word, or I look for a quote and find his words for this moment for me. It's like that. It's just magic. Magic that comes through friends. It's like that.
Wow, what a magical moment. And really a beautiful way to end on these notes of your very sweet song, and you have a nice voice as well.
Thank you.
Well, Basanti, it's been real fun. I really enjoyed connecting with you. You had this childlike energy. Maybe your body can jump up and down, but you know, your eyes, your energy is very youthful. So it's beautiful to feel your joy and positive approach to life.
And a pleasure also to meet you, Svaram. Thank you for making the point of what was said in such a clear, concise and truthful way. Wow, good job. Keep it up. And I hope we meet soon.
Yes, now we finally can meet. Thank you so much, Basanti, for being part of the Love Osho podcast. Lots of love.
Namaste. Have a good day. What is remaining of it?
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.